God of everything and the God of all that we could ask, think, or imagine. We thank you, God, for keeping watch over us during the night and certainly for keeping the death angel from our door. Lord, of all the things that has happened overnight, none of them came to our door. And we bless you for that, recognizing that the perils of this life are no respect of person. Nobody broke into our house. There was no fire. There was no criminal activity around our door because you set a watch. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, we don't glory in the fact that it did not come near our door, but we certainly pray for those who have suffered. And certainly, God, we want them to know that there is a friend, and his name is Jesus. And you call upon the name of the Lord, he will. And so, God, on this morning, we want to again recognize you as sovereign and savior, recognize you as our strength. We pray, God, that these who are with us, those who are yet on the way, and those who share with us through our outlet ministry, media resources, that they would now settle in and they would hear what you are saying to the church. God, again, narrow our view that we might focus intently upon you, not be distracted by those things that are occurring to the left nor to the right of us. But Lord, that we would see your face, follow in your footsteps, hold tight to your hand, and not get lost along the way. The enemy desires to sift us, and to shake us up, and to cause us to stop, even to turn back. But there is no turning back. There is no stoppage for us. We made up our mind that we were going all the way. And Lord, we won't rest until you come. Please, God, again, forgive us of our sins and have mercy, we pray. Give us this day, and we'll make the best of it to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Still ain't everybody. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. Those of you who came during revival and hung around for homecoming and those of you who have committed your way to our sacrificial gift, thank you. Thank you. Those of you who are yet still chopping wood, keep chopping, and God will bring you through. I just believe that. While we are in the revival state, and Pastor McLaughlin blessed us tremendously, but he said something on Thursday night, I guess we want to try to remember that revivals really don't end on Thursdays or Fridays, but it's up to us. We've got to do something about that. And again, poor foolish little boy from Duval County, I really thought that I'd come out here this morning and we'd see something different, but we keep praying. There has to be a change. We cannot go in this way. And I don't know about you, but there's got to be a change. And so we have to keep praying that God would do something and do it quickly. Let's go to Psalm 1, verse. Point number three, we're getting ready now to talk about having that single, that submissive, get them all together, spiritual and secure mind. There are four phases in point number three. And again, if you just need a quick little review, one was that we surrender each day, the whole mind, to the Lord at the beginning of each day. And then two, allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind through the word. And we wanted to make careful acknowledgments that it's not just music. It wasn't just through thoughtful reflection and stuff like that. But we wanted to be able to do it by the word, because the word is our life. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And as I said to you, yes, sir, I'm sorry. Oh, no, that's not no problem. We're talking about seven things that we should be doing in order to develop our spiritual discipleship and to have a qualitative life in Christ Jesus. We talked about seven things that we didn't want to do, and I can go back over them. That's not a problem. Thank you. That's honest. That's fine. There were seven things we didn't want to do, and we talked about those for a little while. And As I said, it's a stretch lesson. It's long because I want to be methodical, and I want to be able to give you all of the building blocks that are necessary that you might have a secure foundation. As we said some time ago, if you don't have a good foundation, you can't build anything. And every now and then, you really need to check your foundation. And so part of that is why we're on this spiritual mind thing. And as I said, in fact, Deacon Walker, you're bringing us to a point of observation, because I actually went back and looked at some of our original notes. And we actually really started talking about this in 2013. It's been a long time. We've talked about a lot of things. I mean, you know, we talked about the discipline points. We talked about the devoted points. And so we went back to the mind because, as I said, I think it started, in fact, last year in the fall revival is when I said, you know what, we really got to go back and look at our minds, because we're demonstrating that we're poor thinkers when it comes to the things of God. So the reality for us is this. The mind is the key to all of this. You can be in good physical shape, but if your mind bad, it all goes bad. And so in the body of Christ, as I said on point number three, we can't just do this by singing and clapping our hands and sitting there. You know, we can't keep saying, oh, every time I think about the goodness of the Lord. You've got to have more reference than that. And you've got to have something that is genuinely credible. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right. People can say things. People can say spiritual things. That's how false things enter into the church. Paul told Timothy to watch out for that, because people who come in with smooth sayings and sound good but don't have spiritual content can be dangerous for us. You know, I mean, that'd be like me telling you, go ahead and cross the street. You ain't got to worry about nothing, and you don't look both ways. Well, it sounds good if ultimately you want to cross the street, but if you don't look both ways, you're going to have a problem. I ain't one crossing the street. I'm standing over here, and I say, oh, go ahead. You all right. And so it's important for us to realize that the mind, these four things are absolutely essential to good discipleship life. You've got to make sure that you have a submissive mind. All of us have lived long enough. I don't see any really young people in here right now, but all of us have lived long enough to hear somebody say, you can't tell me what to do. You heard people say, I make up my own mind. And you know, okay, that's fine. But you do know that if you're wrong when you started, you'll be wrong when you finish. You know, bad input makes bad output. And so you got to have a mind that's submissive. Then you have to, and again, nobody can make you do this. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to make that choice. You know, I've said this before, and I guess I do sound repetitive. If I could make everybody do what the biblical standards call for, what a great church we'd be. But I can't. You know, if I could lock everybody in and provide three hots in a cot and you know, temptation and get everything, you know, we need to talk about building a church. We'd have to build 9 more bathrooms. We'd have to put in shower facilities. We'd have to build a better kitchen. If we're going to try to keep everybody here just for the sake, we'd have to turn into a monastery or a nunnery. And some of y'all would jump the fence. I know we'd have to put a security system on the door. We'd need a moat and dogs and all that and a drawbridge, because some of y'all are going to go, I can't do this. I've seen when I was in the military, people sign up for elite training, difficult training, and by the weekend, they go to the sergeant and say, I can't do this. I got to go back. And they know when they get back, they're going to be jibed. They're going to get ribbed hard because they didn't finish. And in the body of Christ, if you don't have a submissive mind, you're not going to finish. Paul says, you got to finish the course. Jesus says, don't start anything and don't count the cost. Most of us, and we went over this again, most of us, when we came into the body of Christ, nobody told us that. They were just so glad we came. They were jumping up and down because it'd been 9 months since anybody came. And when you came, we didn't want to run the risk of telling you how hard it was going to be. So we just hugged you, gave you the right hand of fellowship, gave you a set of keys to the church, We're just glad to have anybody come by. And then when we really start trying to get into it, oh, I ain't know it's going to be all that. And that's part of the problem. I think one of the things Jesus does that I wish we could do is it, one of the ways to make sure you get people who commit is to isolate them from everything else they know. And I'm going to get to that today because Paul said it too. And so we have to look at what's happening to us in order to have that submissive mind. Then the second piece is to make sure, and again, you have to do this, that you would have a single mind. Paul said, this one thing I do. Right now, every one of you in here multitasking. Every one of you. You may not have a tablet in your lap. You might have a piece of paper. You might have some instrument to write with or something else going on. And one of the things that I thought about as I wrote and keep writing is sometimes we're our own worst enemies in this thing because we're making ourselves do a lot of things when we ought to just be doing one thing. I thought about doing handouts, but people throw away the paper, they don't keep them. I think if I give you a handout, you don't have to write anything. But that wouldn't work either. We tried that one time. That didn't work. But you have to realize something, that whatever you're doing ought to be about what we're doing. I got a family right now mad at me and hadn't seen them in a while because I told their kid to turn off their little game. They ain't been back since. Got another young man mad about. We got to stay focused. How many of you have been driving, got distracted, and almost had an accident? Been cooking and forgot and burnt something, went this way and meant to go that way. You're on the phone talking to somebody and forget who you're talking to. You're writing out a bill and forget who you're writing it to because we get distracted. It's too easy to get distracted because there are too many things going on. And even right now in this room, there's too many things going on. Some of us are cold. Some of us are hot. Some of us are not comfortable, and it's just all kinds of, I can't do anything about that. You got to do that. You got to single your mind. You got to say, it's Christian Academy now. I got time in nothing else. You're gonna have to turn off the phone and let some things take the back burner. See, but we don't always do that. And if I say something, folk get mad about that. No, I'm trying to help you. How many of you ever taught anybody how to drive or tried to teach somebody how to drive? And yet keep saying, hey, because if they don't pay attention, they're not the only one having a wreck. You having a wreck too. And it's going to hurt. And so you say, hey, watch what you're doing. I know. No, you don't. Just like every teacher, every educator use this line. I got mine. You got to get yours. And that's true in the body of Christ. What good is it to have a pastor, teacher, leader, and you won't respect the fact that I need that person? The most important person in your life should be your pastor. And I'm not saying this because I'm offering myself as your pastor, because everybody don't want me to be their pastor. No, the evidence is clear. But just like I said the other night, I respect that man that stood in here. That was my pastor, and whatever pastor asked me to do, I did. And he said, I said, okay, no problem. He said to me, sometime, you ain't going to get in trouble. Ain't you in the military? I was at the time. But I told my supervisor, hey, man, ain't me sitting around here all day doing nothing. I can go up to the church. I can help, I can do, because I had a single mind, and it benefited me. I'm not asking you to quit your job, but I'm asking you that when it's time for the things of God, make God first. Even the scriptures teach you that. He says, your father knows you have need of these things. Jesus is saying, I know you got a job. I know you got a wife. You don't have to get, and every time I call people to commitment, that's the first thing I get. I got my family. I know you got all that. I got all that. But watch my smoke. That's what I used to tell my soldiers. If you see me doing it, y'all. You hear me say it all the time. I tell my wife, and y'all, you know I tell her because she's sitting right there most of the time. When I got God things to do, she can get in line. I don't care how huffy she get. God comes first. And she ought to recognize that because she blessed by that. Don't cut your own blessing. I've told you that more than one time. Don't cut your blessing. Well, how many revivals you going to do? How many? Hey, hey. This is what I do. I don't go out there to your job and tell you what to do. Ain't the same thing. You right. Let's keep our priorities straight, sister. See, I can talk big time right now. She ain't here. But, oh, when she come. Y'all going to tell on me. That's all right. But listen to me. The singleness of mind. And then you got to have a spiritual mind. Nobody else is going to teach you how to have a spiritual mind but me. Those of you who are married, when you were proposed to, betrothed, did they ask you, did you have a spiritual mind? Did they ask you, did you love God? Did they ask you anything? No, they don't care. They wanted you. They wanted you. That's all they wanted, was you. It's a setup. Because that's how you ought to feel about God. That's why they came and took you to dinner and bought you that ring that cost a lot of money and did all of that stuff because they wanted to prove that they wanted you. Well, you ought to do the same thing with God. Ain't nobody saying nothing to me now. What you want is what you prove you want. They got that little song out there that says, if you mean it, say it. If you say it, show it. If you do it. You know, and that's how we ought to feel about God. Because what God is everything. See? And a spiritual mind connects with God. Paul tells the church of Corinth, he said, listen, you're wasting your time trying to explain things of the spirit to people who aren't spiritual because it's foolishness to them. How many of you have tried to witness to somebody? How many of you had to deal with it in your own house? Because people don't understand spiritual things because they're not spiritual. I don't see what you're going up there for all the time. I don't see what you're doing. That don't make no sense. It don't make no difference. We're going to all die anyway. You're right. But dying and going to heaven is a better option than dying and going to hell. Hey, you can't prove it's a heaven or hell. I wouldn't take that chance. That's like the old adage goes, do you really need to stick your hand on the stove to prove it's hot? I can look at it and say, that's fire. It's hot. I tell you this, and I know it to be so. There is no better life than in Christ Jesus. I ain't getting enough amens. But that's all right. Because I know that the spiritual mind is a way of life that few want to proceed in. Not everybody want to go that course. How many of you ever been in a course, taking a subject of learning, and people drop by the wayside? How many of you have been in a course where you sit there, they sit there, one instructor, same instructions, and they got an F and you got an A? Because they didn't, the mind, it's a language that only God speaks. And that's why when I hear people say, well, I don't even know if I hear from God, I know why. You don't have a spiritual mind. And you wrote it off as not necessary. I ain't do all that. Look around this room. If somebody died in this fellowship tomorrow, when the funeral comes, they pack this church. And not just folk from other churches, because that happens, you know, you get more folk, but even folk in our own fellowship that we hadn't seen would pack this church. They show up to bury the dead, but not invest in their own living. You gotta, and then you gotta have a secured mind. Because the devil won't steal your mind. Won't get in your head. That's what Jesus told Peter. He said, the devil's trying to get to you, son. What you just said, that's from the devil. You want to make somebody mad? Tell them they're speaking for the devil. That's what Jesus told Peter. He didn't swell up on Jesus because he knew Jesus was right. He said, son, what you just said, that's not godly. Jesus gave him full credit when he said something godly. He said, now that's good. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that. You got that from the Father. You can't have it both ways, children. You either going to speak from God or you're going to let the devil take over. Okay, three heads are bobbing up and down. I'm saying, listen, you're in a place right now where you're going to have to make a definite decision about your own future. You can't walk around talking about you're predestined and not follow the destined route. You want the things of God? Stick with him. Follow him. There's not a person in this room God ain't been fair with you. Not one. It doesn't matter. Reverend Uriel, Sister Woodson, our senior statespersons in here presently. They got ailments and brokenness, but aren't you glad to be alive? God is still doing what God promised he'd do. Yeah. Shucks, ain't nobody going to live forever. And ain't nobody going to have 100% checkup as you get older, stuff happens. But the fact of the matter is, God has been faithful. This is what the Deuteronomy letter said. Deuteronomy letter said, to 1,000 generations, God has been faithful. Can I tell you something? There are people who have died that God is still answering their prayers concerning you. And they're dead. That's how God is faithful. And you don't think we ought to be faithful? You got to secure your mind. You can't let people get in your head about your relationship with God who don't have a relationship. Let me tell you what kicks me. This is what kicks me good. How we let unchurched folk draw us out the church. I don't understand that. How do you let ignorant people draw you from godly knowledge? I don't get that. Just like a single man can't tell me nothing about marriage. A garbage man can't tell me nothing about electricity. Unless you got a journeyman's card, I don't hear nothing. Just like Brother Walker, he has a paint card. If I want to ask about paint, I go ask somebody who know about paint. And look here, man, I'm getting ready to paint a metal door. What's a good paint for metal? That joker working in Home Depot or Lowe's, that's just a job. They put him in that department, and he over there giving advice. Ask, what do you do for a living? I'm a brain surgeon. What are you doing over here? Well, I got laid off. What you know about paint? Well, I'm smart like that. Go ahead. Because we're afraid of the exposure of ignorance. And yet, you got me trying to teach you all I can teach you, and you won't let me do it. You won't let me do it. You rather run away from me and get mad at me and shut me down, and you hiding in your own house because you can't defend the gospel you say you believe in. You don't know nothing about God, and so when somebody come to your house and try to talk to you about Jehovah God, you're scared. Same thing about anything else you do in this life. If you don't know what you're doing, you best ought to get somebody else to do it. That's why he said, I'll give you pastors. Their job is going to be to lead and instruct you, not to cozy up with you. I mentioned it 2-3 years ago. Nobody wants to invite me to lunch anymore. Nobody invites me to dinner. Nobody wants to play games with me anymore because he just want too much. I want it for you. I ain't selfish. I don't keep all this good knowledge to myself. I don't have Bible study with just me. And trust me, these preachers may know this. There are some pastors who don't even teach in their own churches anymore. They're too big time now. I got my junior ministers. I'm too busy being selfish. Running all over the country, getting paid for themselves, but not teaching their sheep. And then when somebody raise up and take half their members, because they start a church, then they get ignorant about the matter. But you wasn't paying attention to your own vineyard. You weren't watching your own flock. You were too busy. I'm not too busy. I make myself available. And look what I get. But you're right, my friend. Skill versus unskilled. Knowledge versus ignorance. How many of you have ever been promoted because you didn't know nothing? Made a mess of things. It's because you prove yourself. That's how you get the big money. That's what the statistics prove. Statistics prove that the better your knowledge, the better your pay going to be. In the body of Christ, the better those who are in the organization, the living organism of God, the more secure the organism of God is going to be. The disciples had each other. Who do we have? If we're unequally yoked, if we're too busy envying and jealousy and strife, how are we going to help each other? Our minds are too wondrous. We just branch off. Amen. Every little lull in the church and we wind up thinking about something different. Can't stay focused. Three-night revival. We couldn't make three nights. One service went from 2 to 1 to 2, and we can't stay focused. I can't get up that time. You do everything else that you want to do. How does God get kicked to the option box? When the Bible says, apart from him, see, here, I've said this before and I've said it again. Until God starts knocking some folk off, ain't no fear anymore. We're not scared of God. That's why we can show up and not show up. Because we know God ain't going to, but I bet you don't do that on your job. I bet you won't do on your job what you do in God's church. I bet you won't. I'll follow you. And I bet you nobody shows up when they want to on that man's job. Nobody ignores when the boss says, everybody go to the meeting room. We back to the meeting room. I bet you don't stand there going, I ain't going. I already know that stuff. Don't show up. Because when they got a sign-in roster, that means somebody going to get signed out. Why do we treat God like that? Because we really don't have a secure mind. We haven't really submitted to God. Trust me. That's why the writer says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Because the righteous know the rules and abide therein. Come on, talk back to me. Nobody in this room would be gainfully employed if you treated your job like you treat your God. I have morning prayer. Been doing it for years. I can't get every leader in this church to come pray with me. What does that say if you won't pray? Every morning I get up here and I stand in that hallway and get my heart broken and my feelings hurt because I care that much about the people in this ministry and you won't pray with me? But let something happen in your life. Pastor, you pray for me. I pull this prayer box. It's one person put prayers in this box. Lewis Davis. I got him on my desk. Every week I pull a prayer box. Lewis Davis. Prayer is your life. If it ain't nothing but thank you, Lord. You cannot have it both ways. He said, either you're going to love me or you're going to love the world. He said, you can't serve two masters. Our fear is we want the benefits from God, but we want the breakout from the world. Because the world don't hold us to no standard. You've been working on your job how many years? 16. You think anybody, they'll really give a ham sandwich if you don't come back tomorrow? They don't care. But your God cares about you. He said, I'll never leave you. How many people on that job ever stop speaking to you over something foolish? Or how many of them you think really know your name? How many people on your job think know that them hairs on your head? How many of them know your children's name? How many of them know what time you went to sleep last night? Woke you up this morning, made sure the thief didn't break in. So why would you be more loyal to J. Crew than you are to Jesus? Same thing with you. You too. Your mama been sick a while. Who do you think in the world would care enough to watch over her and give her a little help and a little strength? Give you a little help, give you a little strength. Nobody. You think Lynchburg College would care if you dropped dead tomorrow? You think they care if somebody would have broken your house would have burned down? You think they care? But God does. And he proves it. How does he prove it, Reverend? He woke you up this morning. He knows you. You know what he says? Just love me back. He says, when I blow kisses at you, you ought to blow kisses back at me. When I show my faithfulness to you, you ought to show your faithfulness to me. Because ain't nobody going to do you like me. He said, you ought to think of me when you get up and think of me when you go down. Deuteronomy letter. He said, tell your children, talk about him when you come in and when you go out. How many of us really, don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I just want to tell you the truth. How many of us really sit down with our children and talk about God when we come in and when we go out? Most of us don't even see each other. Most of us avoid each other. You see what I'm saying? He said, listen to me. Your mind is your life. You're at Psalm 1 yet? Okay, listen. We're working a little bit now. Here's the reality for us. Psalm 1. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. You know who the wicked are? Anybody who ain't saved, sanctified, secure, submitted, singleness of mind, spiritually minded, are wicked. They're not of the faith. So he said, you really want to be happy, don't listen to jacked up people. Again, I can't understand how unchurched people can draw you out of the church. How unsaved people can tell you how to spend your money or call you to fellowship. Man, come on, go with us. Yeah, I guess I'll go. But Pastor said, come to Bible study. Oh, man, every time I turn around, we got a problem here. He said, all the joys of those who have the strength to stay focused and hear the voice of God. Listen, he says, don't follow the advice of the wicked. Watch what he goes on. He said, or stand around with sinners. You on your job, the Coke machine, coffee machine, break area, whatever, who you hang around ought to be like you. He said, you can't hang around people who ain't like you. And stop fooling yourself. I'm trying to get them saved. No, you ain't. Don't listen. You know how long it takes to convince somebody to be saved? Not really that long if they really want it. How many of you ever had the Kirby man come to your house? Avon, Tupperware, what's that other one? Amway, all that stuff. Them people don't sit there all day, every day. They don't come in there 7 days a week. They come to your house about one time, about 30 minutes, and you bought something. So why you got to meet them every day for 3 years, and they still ain't showed up at church? One of our former deacons got mad at me because I said, listen, you asked me to release you to go a place to do a work of ministry. You've been gone almost 2.5 years and I ain't seen one person yet. Well, I can't make them come. Well, then you need to come on back then. How many of you will send your child to the store and then come back empty 3 years in a row? You're going to stop sending them to the store, ain't you? You're going to say, listen, you're not capable of going to. Tell you what, let me send your brother. Come on, talk to me. See, this. Listen. We got to stop playing games. It's too crucial. They threw a bomb in a food court yesterday. They cut up a bunch of people in Minnesota. We ain't got time now. We don't. The evil is here. Bible says it's going to wax worse and worse. And he said, and when you see the signs, you better pay attention. So you think we got time to play with God? You think you got time to get yourself together? Let me think about it a while. I need to get my... No, you ain't got that kind of time. You need to be in the emergency room. I'm your doctor. You need to get in there and get working on this thing here. He said, listen, you can't stand around with sinners. I don't have but a few friends. You know why? It ain't like me. Oh, there was a time when I was the guy because I was out there just like they was. But little by little, the closer I got to him, the further I got from them. And guess what? Don't miss none of them. Don't miss none of them. You know why? Because I got good company. Me and Jesus.
And whomever the Lord sends of a like nature, they're my friends. He said, you can't stand around with sinners. Watch this. Or join in with scoffers. You know what a scoffer is. Always got something bad to say. Always, you know. You still going to that church, you get a, that's a scoffer. You throwing your money up there, you crazy. You going to put $350 in there? Why? Scoffer. You know, in your lifetime, you know how many $350 God gave you that you didn't make good use of? You know how many times God has kept you and you weren't even paying attention to what he was keeping you from? You do know that you're not still alive because you're so much wonderful, because you did everything right. There are people your age and younger that die. God has a plan, doesn't he? Don't be around scoffers. You ain't got to worry about it. No, thank you. He said, you can't do that. If you want to have joy, stay away from scoffers. How many have been around folk who just bring you down? Because they just whine, and then you get the whining, and before you know it, we got all that whining and no cheese, no crackers. Y'all got it? Cheese, wine, okay, good. Y'all ain't slow as you was last week. Watch this. Here it is. He said, listen, but they, who are they? They who are opposite of the wicked, the scoffers, the sinners. He said, listen, but they delight in doing everything the Lord wants. Who? That's us. Listen, listen to what he says. Anybody got a King James Version? Read that verse, 1 and 2. There it is. The word. You gotta meditate on it. And he said that's how you know who the blessed are. They get happy about the word of God. They get happy about going to study. They get happy about worship. They get happy about giving. All of that is in the word of God. How to give, how to worship, how to study, how to love your wife, how to love you. Don't tell me I got a wife and I got bills. God know you got all that. And he tells you how to deal with that too. He said, listen, pay your bills. He said, don't get in excessive debt. It's in the book. And you want to keep your children from inheriting debt and becoming the next generation of debt? Teach them this word. That's what the Deuteronomy letter is saying. Talk about it in and out. I said, listen, son, when you start working, here's what you do. Give God 10% first. Start that when he's young. See, I meet people who are grown and have never been taught how to tithe, but know how to spend money, know the cost of a PlayStation, but don't know how to give God. See, my daddy taught me something when I was very young. When I was very young, my daddy taught us how to bless our mother. Real young. He said, let me tell you something. Your mama's birthday coming up. He said, I'm going to give you some money. Put it in a card. He taught us how. He said, I want you to give it to him. It was his money, but he kept teaching. And then we got a little older. He said, look here, your mama's birthday coming up. Christmas coming up. Your mom and me anniversary. Y'all ain't got to buy me nothing. He said, I don't need y'all to buy me nothing. He said, but don't forget your mama. And he said, make sure. He said, now don't make me have to come at you. And he'd remind us when January 26th was getting close, he said, you know your mama's birthday coming, you better put a little something aside. You're old enough now to do it on your own. And we lined up. Happy birthday, mama. Oh, baby, thank you. Next one, happy birthday. You better not stand in line for happy birthday. And ain't got nothing. Trust me, daddy gonna get you. He'll see you in a few minutes. He'll sit there and look at you going, mm-hmm. But my mama taught me how to give to God. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it. My daddy taught me how to bless my mama, but my mama taught me how to bless God. Y'all still missed it. My point is simply this. To whom you bless, they're going to be blessed. But when somebody who's blessed teach you how to bless, that's a blessing. See. You have to understand something. It ain't just written to me. It's written to us. If you meditate on it, you know what meditation do for you? It relieves stress. It brings clarity. It eases you out of frustration. Trust me, if you find 30 minutes a day, that's going to be the best 30 minutes of your life. He said, if you meditate on it, you ain't got to read but one verse. I've been up here in front of you almost 45 minutes, and we just read two verses. It'll change your life. He said, don't join in with people who don't love God. Don't hang around. Don't stand around with them. You don't have to give commentary. You don't have to give reflections. You don't have to give an account to ungodly people. Let me tell you this. You ain't going to say nothing. I know you're going to be quiet right here, but I'm going to tell you the truth. It's a God's honest truth. It's a fact. Some of you would have never married the person you married if you had read this book. Amen. If you had read this book. You ain't got to say nothing to me. You ain't got, because I know. I know you wouldn't have. Not if you'd have been obedient to it. Some of you would have never made some of the decisions you made if you had meditated on that book. You wouldn't be in the hawk you're in right now. You wouldn't be living like you're living. You wouldn't be feeling like you're feeling. You wouldn't be under the gun if you had read that book. If you had done one verse, if you had done one verse, if you had just not taken advice of the wicked, we ain't there but two. You can change your whole life if you had meditated daily and delighted in the word of God. Your whole life would be different right now. You ain't got to say nothing to me, because mine would be different. Mine would be different. So I'm telling you now, I'm standing here telling you as a witness of my own foolishness, my own disobedience. It cost me, because I didn't do it. But thank God he let me live long enough. And listen, I hear, thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost said, some of y'all think you got a running opinion of me. I didn't say I was perfect. I still got to fight every day. But I'm fighting with a better weapon. Would I like to be perfect? I sure would. Yes, I would. But then I wouldn't know nobody. My wife wouldn't be good enough if I was perfect. My children wouldn't be good enough. I love them folk. But in perfection, you distance yourself from a whole lot of flawed stuff. That's why they got the Mona Lisa behind chains. That's why they have things in museum of high value under glass. They're so rare. But how many of you know you can't live behind chains? You can't live under glass. He said, listen, you want to get your life together? Get your mind right. Watch what he goes on to say. He said, now, they do it day and night. We have Bible study, Deacon Walk, how many days a week? Just two, basically two. Three is a little something for my seniors. How many hours is that? Three. Sunday, 1 hour, thereabouts. Thursday, 1 hour, thereabouts. Wednesday, if you come, 1 hour. We worship from right about 11 o'clock to when the pastor said, well, we'll be going now. But all in all, at the most, it's 6 hours. This word here says do it day and it didn't say do it 2 hours. Didn't say we can't do it an hour. 85 congregation ain't nowhere to be found for 1 hour. 1 hour. Most of us can't convince our husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or significant other that we call ourselves going to spend the rest of our life with to do the same thing we're doing for 1 hour. That's called unequally yoked. The Bible said that's not good. Mm-mm. Don't hate on me. Just say amen, because it's true. He said, listen, he meditates on it. You meditate on it because you have a mind to read it first. You can't meditate on something you didn't read or haven't been taught. How many of you remember being in high school and college, educating, and you had to study for an exam? You cram for it, or you stay up all night, drink coffee, because you got to pass that test. How many of you have ever, don't raise your hand, took God's word that serious? Well, you sit there with a pot of coffee so you can stay up and read. Come on, talk to me. How many of you have ever said to your friend, no, y'all go ahead. I got to stay here and study. See, that's what's wrong with us. God ain't got no standing with us. We pimp God. We pimp him. All we want God to do is heal our body and tell us to run on. All we want God to do is pick us up and turn us around. We're singing ourselves right into hell. Because we don't read. We don't sit and drink no coffee to stay with God. But let Miss Charlie tell you, you got to do overtime. Let Miss Charlie say, look, money on the books. How about you come in? Yeah, I better come on in. You know you're supposed to be in Bible study. Or you know you're supposed to teach a class at the church. Or you know you're supposed to work with the young people. Pastor, I ain't going to be able to come. And you hoping I don't answer the phone so you can leave me a voicemail. Or you'll send me a text because you don't really want to talk to me. Come on, talk to me. You hoping I don't answer the phone. Pastor, this brother so-and-so, I just want to let you know, I ain't going to be able to make that youth meeting because I got to work. You know, you ain't got to work. You volunteered to make some money because you already behind. You know why you behind? Because you didn't read that book. Come on, talk to me. You know how I got out of debt? That book. My pastor sit me down. He said, you don't tithe. I said, huh? He said, I looked at the finance report. He said, look, man, you my assistant. You're in my ministry, man. He said, Doc, you got to tithe. He said, write down all the bills you have. I lied. I wrote down some of them. He said, Doc, ain't no way in the world that's all you got and you won't tithe. He said, Doc, that ain't nothing. He said, come on, man. So Holy Spirit convicted me. Let me say this one while I'm... That's part of our problem. We don't want to admit to being convicted. We would admit to being offended by a man, but won't admit to being convicted by God. He all up in my... Yeah, come on, talk to me. I ain't going to be here much longer. Talk to me. So he said, listen, Doc, tithe. He said, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, for every dollar you lose, I'll give you two. I said, okay. So I started tithing. And Lord knows I wanted to be able to get that double down. But he was right. It worked. And he told me, he said, now, Doc, for all the years it took you to get in debt, it's going to take you a while to get out. But this is what he said to me, and I'll never forget it. But don't give up on God. He said, because you ain't going to be the first Negro that corrupt God's word and it don't work for you. And he right, I wasn't. It took me a while, but I made bad choices because I didn't read the book. I signed contracts without praying about it. I bought stuff I ain't really need. Because the devil said, oh, you got it. Oh, how many credit cards do you really need? Come on, talk to me. How many credit cards do you really need? One is good to have. I'll give you that. One. Because things may happen. Really. But listen to me. Read the book. Read the book. And then, excuse me, you got to understand, when God got you, he got you. Ain't no squirming. Ain't no need to get mad. See, you listen, you'll shake your fist, roll your eyes, and suck your teeth at me. But you won't do that with God. You may do it, but you doing it with a little bit of flavor in it, you know, Lord, but trust me in this. He says, unless you do this night and day, it's not going to have an effect in you. You got out of school because you studied. Am I right? You got an education. You kept studying. You going to school. You studied. Nobody makes any progress without commitment. Come on, talk to me. Nobody. Nobody walks into anything ignorant and stays. You're going to get exposed. They're going to say, wait a minute. That's why when you read some of those applications, it said experience need only apply. We ain't got time to be training folk over and over and over. You bring what you got to the game. See. And then we get in the body of Christ, and Deacon Walker, God bless you because you're right. We'd rather be ignorant than just comply and commit to saying, listen, I got to learn this stuff, man. And let me tell you nothing, thank you, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost just said, because if ain't no money in it, see, you don't think it's of no value. If I paid people $20 to come to Bible study, oh, they'd line up to come to Bible study. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Because that's what some of y'all think. Ain't no money in it. All you're doing is taking from me. But I'm going to tell you what I told you before. Whenever you give to God, you give it to yourself. Yeah. Yeah. He said, don't hang around them people. Watch this. He says, they are like trees. Verse 3. They who? The people who get this right. The elect. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit in each season without fail. See, we take the word of God and say, well, it's just not my season. This book here says every season will be your season if you do right by God. And see, we sing ourselves right in the hair. It's your season to be blessed. God made you a promise. You passed the test. This thing here says every season you'll be fruitful. Now, what does God say about that? You'll know trees because they're fruitful. This book says if you get this God thing right, oops, sorry, Holy Ghost, when you get this God thing right, you'll always be fruitful. You will never lack for anything because God keeps every promise if you keep your promise. I'm like a tree, people say. Woo, you living good. I'm like a tree. I'm planted. Planted means what? I ain't going nowhere. Pastor McLaughlin was right. We jump out of churches like we're getting bus transfers. I ain't going back. People done walked out of this ministry for one reason primarily than any other. They don't want me to teach them nothing. Because I don't really bother nobody. This is about the only time I see y'all. Unless you see me passing me somewhere and don't be trying to guess where I'm going nor where I'm coming from. Because people do that. I see him coming. No, you don't know where I'm going. Most time I don't. I just ride around. But listen to me. Hey, everybody got to go this house. Well, I ain't got to be no trustee then. Okay, fine. Amen. You don't want to bless your life by blessing God's life. That's fine. Okay. Well, I ain't want to be no deacon in the first place. Then you lied. I didn't. Because I didn't hold no gun. I asked you, do you want? Yeah, I'll do it. And if you change your mind, be man enough to tell God, Lord, help me. Because ain't no quit on God. It's faithful unto death. You think I'm going to stop preaching? I'll be preaching till I can't preach. Somewhere. And trust me in this. Why would you enlist in the world and not enlist with God? They already say Social Security going to go bankrupt. God ain't going to never go bankrupt. Greater your reward in heaven. That's good enough for me. Because I know heaven life is longer than earth life. See, y'all ain't talking to me. I feel the heat now. He said, listen, you'll be like a tree. Now, let me ask you a question and do vote here. How many of you don't want to live a blessed life? See, nobody ain't going to want that. Now, how many of you want to live a blessed life? How many of you want to be trees planted? How many of you want to have season after season after season after season? Everybody does. Even though all y'all didn't raise your hand. That concerns me greatly. But, I mean, this is the word of God concerning you. It didn't say just the pastor will be like a tree. It didn't say just the ministers or just the deep. It says he will, they will, the elect, the chosen, the ones who keep this rule, who follow this commandment, who live in obedience, will be like trees planted by the water. You'll have rivers of water. You know what that means? Your lake bed won't go dry. You won't even have to suffer like Elijah. You won't be by no brook. You'll be by a river. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, they who get this right, They who have secured their minds, submissive mind, spiritual minds, and have given themselves completely to the sanctified quality of life will get these blessings. I don't want for nothing. I don't. I told you long time, this is the best time of my life. I actually have no concerns financially, health-wise, marital, family. Now, my kids, just like anybody else's kids, you know, they're crazy. They subject to fits of rage, and but I don't let it bother me anymore. You know why? Because I'm playing it. Because one thing about it, when they get a certain age, I believe in the biblical principle, they're old enough to speak for themselves. They're old enough to die for themselves. They're old enough to go to jail for themselves. They're old enough to pay their own bills. Most of them that my wife don't talk me into paying. But I don't have no concerns because I'm playing it. God can take everything he ever gave me, and I'm staying with him. I'm staying. I don't care. It don't bother. He can have a car. I can go outside that little thing. It can be gone. I can go home. The other one's gone. I can go home. The house done burned down. I can go home. The dog's gone. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless the Lord. Somebody asked me, said, how did you go to church the Sunday after your daddy died? Because I had to go bless the Lord. Amen. I did my daddy's funeral Saturday, and Sunday morning I was preaching for a friend of mine. I don't want them to sit around. The dead is dead. I ain't nothing I can do about that. But I did want to let God know, I'm glad you got Leroy Sr. and not Leroy the Third. You know, when they pull them names sometimes, they might, you know, there's some letters behind my name, Lord. Oh, okay, that's a Leroy. Good. Yeah, I blessed him. You know why? Because I thought it was not robbery for him to trust me to take care of my mama, for him to trust me to say, listen, I will bless the Lord. Yeah. Care what God take from me. You know why? Because it wasn't mine in the first place. How you going to get mad at God for his stuff? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's God's stuff. That ain't my stuff. And you know what? I don't have to worry about it when it ain't mine. I'm a steward. I'm not the owner. I don't care. Take it. He can take the kids. They ain't mine. He gave them to me. They his. He'll do better with them probably than I can. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, listen, you'll be like a tree. And you'll be blessed in every, in the winter, the spring, the summer. You'll always be blessed. It's right here. He said, listen, your leaves won't wither. And in all you do, how about that? How about that, Dean, walking in your business? Wouldn't you like to have that clause? In all you do, you'll prosper. In your education, how about that? In the medical field, over in your job, over at Lowe's. How many of you would just love to walk out of here and can tie yourself to Psalm 3 and 4 and say, Lord, you said. And that's what I do with God. Whenever it gets tight, I just tell him what he said. I don't tell him what I say, because what I say don't matter. I have no authority except that which is given to me. And if I don't do right, he can take his authority. Amen. Secure your mind. Listen, and God ain't got no problem with you laughing, going on vacation, even being foolish with the money again. Because, you know, we all gonna splurge sometime. God will let you splurge. You know why? Because you've been planning. You got a few things. You can go ahead and say, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and have me a little fun. And God ain't going to, because you still tithe. You know, when you went out, you tithe. When you came back, you tithe. You didn't take God tithe to go on vacation. You didn't take God tithe to go buy this thing. You tithe, and then you say, oh, Lord, I got a little left over because I'm a good money manager now. God don't mind. You want to get Ray-Bans or Louis Vuitton glasses rather than them Superman glasses? God don't mind. You want to get some designer clothes rather than off the rack? God don't mind. Because God said, you're representing me now. You go on out there and look good. Because I want folk to know how the faithful really look. That's That's why the text says, why art thou downcast? You ain't got no business with your head. Walking around. He said, be lifted up and be lifted up. And the King of glory shall come in. God don't want to be around a bunch of sour pussies. That's why we worship. And we don't come to worship, we bring worship. That's why the church ain't that sound the same. Ain't something. That's why the church doesn't sound the same every Sunday, because some of us just come to worship and some of us brought worship and we don't have an equalness here. You bring worship, you bring it. And the old saying back just whenever there's a little fight back home, they had this little, you know, back when you young folk don't know nothing about this, but when us older folk used to fight, we had to make a statement first. And they come and said, I said it, I meant it, and I'm here to represent it. You know, that you know, you got to have your opening statement. You can't just break into a fight. You got to have a statement. Yeah, that's how we did it back then. And then, you know, you put lines in the sand and baddest man hit my hand and all. You had to do something before the fight started. See, these young folk, y'all believe in banking people and all that kind of thing. We don't bank nobody. Bank is where you put your money. No, we don't ambush nobody. We tell you what time to be there. Say, meet me in the park at 3:30. All right, be there at 3:30. Because you got to go home and change clothes. You can't mess up your school clothes in a fight. See? Yeah. And see, now we want God to do all of that God stuff. And we don't want to do nothing. God said, no. You worship me and watch what I'll do. You bless me and watch what I'll do. You want your children to be healthy, strong, and wise? He said, you get yourself together first. See, you don't bring your children and leave them. You come as a unit, and I'll bless your whole house, coming in and going out. Because you can't be one with me and can't be one with people you see every day. Me and the Lord. No, it don't you and the Lord, because you ain't got it going on with us. You can't look at me. See, he said, listen, you have to understand that there is a season called forever. See, we walk around talking about due season. No, there's a season called forever. It's right here in the text. Each season without fail. And your leaves don't wither. How many of you ever looked at somebody and tell they just look bad? They got their withered leaves. Yeah, their leaves are withering. You just say, ooh, something ain't right. That's why I told you, I choose to be happy. I choose to have joy. Oh, every now and then, I try not to let folk get to me too much. But because you care about people, sometimes, you have a little emotional moment, but I choose joy over sorrow. Now, in this life, you're going to have some trouble. Man born of a woman. Okay. All right. But listen, he said your leaves don't need to be looking withered. You know, even in a storm, you'll look like something. Amen. Y'all didn't hear that. Even in a storm, you ought to look like something. Bless you, Brother Jesse. I'm teaching a little bit today. Y'all look like something. Because when the storm is over, there's a thing called after. After the storm. After the funeral. After the bankruptcy. After the divorce. There's a little something you'll look like when it's over. Because your leaves shouldn't be looking like they're withered. You might have lost a few of them off that tree. You know, you ever seen, a storm come through? All the leaves don't come off. And soon as the sun come out, you ever notice how green the grass look after rain? That's how you all look. After the storm, you all look like you refreshed. The storm didn't come to destroy me. They came to develop me, to bring my greenery out. They came to kick that chlorophyll into high gear. See, you ever notice how flowers perk up? After the rain and the storm, they lift their heads up and say, oh, look at here now. We all right. If anything, You ought to celebrate because you survived. You ought to look like something because you're still here. The one that didn't survive, they're going to get cut up and thrown away. You ought not look like you're ready to be cut up. Better cheer up. Lift up your head. And he said, listen, your leaves going to always look good. He said, and all you do prosper. Let me tell you what that word prosper does not mean. Cash. Stop thinking everything in your life is tied to money. You can prosper in health. You can prosper in wisdom. You can prosper in good relationships. Amen. Yeah, Psalm 1. Thank you. Thank you. You listen to me. You need to stop letting these hocus pocus preachers, these television ministries, tell you that money cometh, and if you ain't blessed, you know, it's a sign of a curse. If you in poverty. Listen, poverty was here before any of y'all got here. And again, bad financial choices probably going to put you in poverty. Don't listen to these churches, these old jackleg preachers standing there telling you about if you got this going on, that going on, that you under a curse. Jesus came and took away every curse. The devil the only one do cursing. God didn't curse you. Read your Bible. He said, I came that they might have life. You can't take that verse out the Bible. That evangelist told me that I'm under a curse. God didn't say that about you. That's what a man said. You do know men lie. Bible said that. Bible said all men will be liars, not God. And again, the only reason that you live counter is because you've been convicted. Come on, talk to me. You got to get in line. Commit your way and watch what God's going to do. And it don't take no 6 weeks to figure that out. Well, I just need a little time. I'm going to have to go through a while. And let me tell you something. Hold your breath that long. Hold your breath. See how long it lasts. Because you do know that in him you live, move, and have your... Yeah. Hold your breath then. Since you can't figure out how to work with God right now, hold your breath. And since I know you ain't going to be able to do it, I got some duct tape. Stop breathing then. Because in him, you live, you move. Come on, talk to me. See, you got to read that word. I'm tired of people making excuses. You ought to be tired of it too. This church is raggedy because people lying. And lying in God's face. And then when they want something, they're on their knees. And then telling God to hurry up. Thank you, deputy. I'm sick of it. You're going to go. And stay gone. But trust me in this. There's one Lord. There's one faith. Ain't no need to hop in churches. You know what you need to do? Get on your face and tell God you're sorry. And then say, thank you for giving me a pastor with boldness who wouldn't go to the left nor to the right, but kept that thing in the road. I told you before, if I ever had to fly on an airplane, I want Scully flying my airplane. Because when 1549 went in the water, he was the man for the job. I don't want no pilot who can do stunts. I don't need no Blue Angel pilot flying me on no Delta flight. I want a man that when birds take out the engine, he can say, we're going to be in the Hudson, but I'm getting my passengers off this plane. I don't even know how many tricks you can do. I want to know if you can get me out of a jam. I want to know if you know what you're doing so we can all be all right. I don't need no con man. I read the paper the other day. They said that Captain Cuss created a pilot error. That's why he died out there in Nashville. The Blue Angel pilot. I read the report. Say pilot error. Say one, he was going too fast. Two, he was too low. And three, he failed to make corrective actions in a timely manner. 1,700 plus flying hours. He going too fast. He's too low. And he didn't think his way through. And he's gone. See, all that, brothers and sisters, your past don't mean nothing if you can't handle your now. So you can't be telling God, I was faithful. I used to go to Bible study. God don't want to hear that. Deaconess Janet Jackson was right. What have you done for me lately? You know what God cares about and what you ought to be caring about? Today. God ain't holding your past against you, Jess. That's why you got today. If God had a problem with your drugs, he'd have killed you back then. You know what God did? Used you. And y'all to let him use you. Nobody would go through what you went through voluntarily and say, well, in 10 years, I'm going to be a testimony. Nobody won't do that. You were a fool back then. You didn't know no better. But look what God did. When you didn't know how to care for you, he did. Kept people around you, encouraging, making you mad, and y'all don't got in my business. Don't worry about me. But God had people who loved you. See, and like I said, some of you don't realize it. You're alive, and dead folk prayed for you. And God, to a thousand generations, is keeping the prayers of folk who have died on the books. People we never met, great grandmothers and mothers and uncles and people who knew your mama was pregnant and died before you got here, said, I hope that child turned out, and I'm going to be praying for you. And they gone, but God honored their prayers. Don't you tell me God ain't faithful. Don't you tell me God ain't faithful. I know some dead folk prayed for me. I know it. And God didn't say, well, now that you're dead, I'm gonna reject that. No, no. The prayers of the righteous still. Amen. I've gone over my time. I feel my help coming. I'm going to mark my paper so we can talk some more. I'll be here. Amen. I hope I helped you a little bit. I'm going to mark my paper. I love what I do. Amen. Amen. Don't ever let nobody fool you. Your pastor loves you. But I ain't going to let you live like a heathen, because that make us unequally yoked. I ain't going to hell for nobody. Bible says it's rare that a good man might do, give up his life, and it's rare that a friend might do it. But I know I ain't going to hell for nobody. And I know if I won't go for me, I know I ain't going for you. And I sure don't plan on going for me. Amen. I'm going to negotiate the best terms I can. Amen. If I had to be like that man, say, well, Lord, just bring a cool drop of water here. But I'm going to do the best I can. Trust me in this. Amen. This psalm is applicable to you. Yes. Who wouldn't want to live with overlapping seasons? Huh? How many of you have to live from paycheck to paycheck? It's a strain, ain't it? Something happened to you praying that the car don't break down, that the furnace don't go out. And when it do, you got to say, well, I can't do nothing until I get my money. But look at what God is saying. God is saying you'll be like a tree planted by the water, and every season you won't have to put nothing on hold. You won't have to delay anything because you got your leaf and you got your prosperity. You got your greenery. You got your sustainment. And you say, God, we got this. Come on with it. Huh? You won't have to be like Kenny Rogers and stand there saying you picked a bad time to leave me, Lucille. He said, girl, listen, if you got your marriage together, you ain't got to worry about Lucille going nowhere. You don't have to be like Ray Charles and Marvin Gaye saying, I wouldn't be long gone. No, because you got the right one, baby. Don't you plan on getting married for life? We talked about it in the counseling. We don't plan on marrying nobody and then 10 years later trade them in. You trade cars in to get new models. You stuck with Daryl. He going to get old. You going to get old. We talked about that. You ain't going to always be beautiful and lovely and shapely. You know, when you're young, you go from side to side. When you're old, you go from front to back. Amen. Fellas, you might as well know it. Y'all, just look around. When you see old ladies walking, when they're young, they go from side. When they're old, they go from front to back. Trust me, all right. And you want to live to get old. Amen. All right, y'all working on that, ain't y'all? Everybody think. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I done walked with my grandma many days. Amen. All right. God, our Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Hard lessons are the best lessons. But more than anything, truth is truth. And so, God, I've made it my commitment because of you and I and what you promised me to tell the truth. And I know folk don't always like the truth. But, Lord, it's the truth. And, God, hold me accountable to truth. Because when we open this book, it's your voice we want to hear. And your voice doesn't waver. You're the same today, yesterday, and forever. From everlasting to everlasting, you're God. And so, Lord, because we have made our choice, then we must be committed to the choice we've made. When we put our hands to this plow, we can't afford to look back. We can't afford to go left nor right. We can't afford to waver. And the best thing we can ever have in our life is a pastor who tells the truth and some friends who tell the truth as well. We want our wife to tell the truth, our husband, our fiance, and whoever else in our life. We need truth. And don't let us be around the wicked. Don't let us hang around with sinners and perch ourselves with scoffers. There is no other way to heaven except through Christ Jesus. Now, Lord, maybe some folk don't want to go to heaven. That's their choice. I ain't got no bones with it. But if we're going to go, because we say we want to go, we're going to have to know before we go. And so, God, keep us in this book. Don't ever let us turn from this book. Thy word I've hidden in my heart. Lord, let us keep this book. Now, Lord, bless these who are with us. Some have came in a little later in the journey, but I pray, God, that the day will come when we'll report to Christian Academy like we report to jobs. We'll show up early and stay as late as we have to stay. Because, Lord, we have nothing without you. And even of those who listen to us on our media outlet source and they're sitting around doing whatever they do, God, I pray they'll commit their way, find a local church, and get up and go to hear what you are saying to the local church. We don't want our ministry outlet resource to be an excuse. We want it to be a gateway that they can say, you know what, I heard this, I got to go hear more. Don't want folks sitting around at Bedroom Baptist waiting on us to come on the air. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Get off that couch and go to church. Find you a pastor. Find you a congregation. Find you a family. God, I pray that under my voice, these who are here, and even those who have not thought an inch or an iota about coming, that we'll go out and broadcast to come see a man. Lord, forgive us for our sins and for our disobedience, our former ignorance, and bring us to this place. Time is winding up. Won't be long now. Forgive us of our sins, we do pray, and have mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. Scholarship giving time.